Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, November the 9th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor James Fetzer on and also Professor Joe. And I'm going to let Jim Fetzer take it first because we're going to all throw in here and give reports and bounce around and do this for about an hour. So, Jim, what's the latest?
Well, still, I got to tell you, there are two very, very important reports. One, trashing Fauci, about how Fauci fooled America, and another, a ruling from a rabbinical court decreeing no jabs for children. Get this. Dr. Martin Kilduff, an epidemiologist, biostatistician, and professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and Jay Batichera, MD, PhD, a professor of health policy at Stanford University School of Medicine, are both trashing Fauci, how he got major epidemiological and public health questions wrong, but where reality and scientific studies have now caught up with him. What's fascinating about this report, they say it was understandable why so many leaders and Americans would listen to Tony the Rat when the pandemic began. But now the evidence has unfolded, it has all run counter to his advice. They wrote, when the pandemic hit, America needed someone to turn to for advice. The media and public naturally looked to Dr. Fauci, director of the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, an esteemed laboratory immunologist, and one of President Donald Trump's chosen COVID advisors. But everything he's been telling us has been wrong. Here's a tweet about it. Amazing how a single scientist in the same position for 37 years managed to cause so much harm to his country and to the world. Had we listened to Martin Kilduff and Dr. Jay Batichera instead, we would have been in a much better world. Now, get this, if anything more important, major development. Rabbinical court decrees mRNA jab absolutely forbidden for children, adolescents, young men, and women. This is a fascinating situation here, Stu. We have a rabbinical court giving a decree based upon reviewing evidence and hearing testimony from experts. On November 1st, the rabbinical court officially decreed that the mRNA COVID shot is absolutely forbidden for children, adolescents, young men, and women. The rabbinical court is part of the Israeli legal system and determines laws that reflect the teachings of the Torah, which, of course, are the first five books of the Old Testament. A ruling by the rabbinical court is considered God's law and is strictly followed by the Jewish community. The importance of this decision cannot be overestimated on its ultimate effect on Jewish children and young adults throughout the world. After hours of testimony, on October 26th, by medical experts, lawyers, and scientists, the rabbinical court made their decree and sent shockwaves through the world. The decision stated, it is absolutely forbidden to administer or even to promote this injection of children, adolescents, young men, or women, even if it means that they will not be permitted by the government to attend yeshiva or seminary or to study abroad. It is an explicit obligation to protest against this mandate, and anyone who can prevent the injection from being forced upon our youth must do so forthrightly and emphatically. Further, the court forbade pregnant women and all healthy adults of childbearing age to receive it. Much harm appears to be caused to pregnant women as a result of the injection, possibly due to the antibodies or body developments against a protein called SIMPTIN1 or from the SM102 or from the microblood clots caused by the injection. The common denominator here is that it is harmful for a pregnant woman and that it may be considered a violation of the prohibition of sterilization or preventing fertility. As such, it is forbidden for them to take this injection. Included in this are all healthy adults who are of childbearing age. They too should stay away from the said injection. Two, I think these are both very significant. The first, because the story attacking Fauci appeared in Newsweek, which is of course a mainstream journal. This is not the first critique of Fauci obviously that's a very good news week, but it's devastating nonetheless, and it suggests a breakthrough. The medical decree is absolutely sensational.
That's good, good report. What's your comment on this, Joe?
This is absolutely profound, Jim. Just absolutely profound, because your major carriers of the vaccine are headed by Jewish CEOs. And Israel demanded of its citizens, where they're up, I think at least 90% of them have now taken at least one jab. This is absolutely profound, Jim. Absolutely profound.
They were making mandatory in Israel everybody have it, I think, a couple months ago, Joe. They may have. I don't know.
But the point is, Stu, this contradicts what the practice has been in Israel. It nullifies it and declares it to be forbidden, a practice that must end. And it even creates an obligation to protest and to stand up to oppose any mandates or attempts to vaccinate anyone with this forbidden substance, which, of course, we know doesn't technically qualify as a vaccine. It's not medicine. In fact, it turns out the CDC has even changed their definition of what it is to be a vaccine in order to conceal that fact.
You know, Joe has a pretty good statement he made on the last show. Take the jab and you're dead in 5 years.
Well, there are others who have made that prediction. Jerry Tendon has described these mRNA vaccines as perfectly designed killing machines. And we have the world's leading virologist declaring everyone who takes the vax will be dead within 5 years. So that may be the background for Joel's observation. It's very serious, no question about it.
What is it, about 1.5 million dead in the U.S., Joe, from taking the vaccination?
Well, these are taken off of different bits and pieces of commentary. But they're doing guesstimations on this, because one of the things that they're not doing is reporting the people that are suffering these horrible effects. Blood clots. They're just some of the terrible things that they're showing. And all of your mainstream media news is absolutely suppressing the reactions of this jab. And so some people are saying, and these are just speculations in my opinion, that it's up to about 1.5 million people who are now dead from the vaccine.
And I suspect that's a conservative estimate. The World Health Organization has a data bank of those who suffered adverse consequences from the jab, which has over 2 million cases in a whole range of different categories: respiratory diseases, liver, pancreatic, neurological damage, Bell's palsy, a form of paralysis, not to mention heart attacks. We're even getting reports now of a whole lot of athletes who are suddenly dropping dead from heart attacks because they took the jab. It's just disgusting and disgraceful. And that the CDC and the AMA and WHO should be in any way, shape, or form supporting this is outrageous. By the way, it's striking. Not only are there 2 million cases in a year since the jab was introduced, but the preceding year there were only 2,000. So there are 1,000 times more adverse cases than the prior year, and before that it was only like 87, and before that one or two. In other words, since the jab has occurred, there have been more adverse consequences than cumulatively from all vaccines used in the history of medicine.
It's unbelievable what the people or what the and the networks sit there and tell you, that we're up to 80%, I think I heard stay here yesterday, and the American people have got the jab. The numbers are more like about 50% or less. How many have you come up with, Jim? How many you come up with, Joe?
What do you mean, the percentage of U.S. who have taken the jab?
Yeah, yeah. What's the percentage of the population in the U.S.?
I'm going to guess it's probably over 50% by now.
Okay.
That wouldn't surprise me, but they're doing bizarre stuff. They're offering kids $200 to take the jab as though it were some kind of a present. They're running an outrageous commercial of little kids playing like they're Superman and saying how great it is for them to contribute to the benefit of the world and help other kids by taking the jab. This is sadistic. This is absolutely unbelievable. It's a form of cruelty unprecedented in its scope and scale.
They showed a woman on a local TV station, and you know, because they were hitting them over at one of the hospitals here, and a bunch of kids for the day, and they had about 600 of them go through there. But here's a mother, and she's an attractive woman, and she's, you know, got four little ones from 10 on down to 5 or 4, whatever it was, 5 I think it was, and they're all getting the jab. And I'm going, and then they're taking pictures, you know, oh gosh, you know, and they get a little thing that says they got the jab. I mean, the woman sits there and makes the comment to the TV reporter. She says, I'll deal with the consequences if there are any later on, but this is for the sake of humanity. In other words, the consequences of the jab on her kids. I mean, for the sake of humanity.
It's devastating. It's devastating, and the mainstream just won't report it.
The people are just, I mean, some of the American people are just so dumb, Jim. I'm convinced of it. I mean, I've been at this for a long time, and so have you, and so has Joe. And the people have been dumbed down to a degree.
Well, it's very difficult for the average American to imagine that agencies like the FDA and the CDC, which they believe are there to protect them, are actually working in the opposite direction and deliberately attempting to harm them to reduce the U.S. population. That vaccinating the U.S. military is going to decimate the military, and those who refuse the vax leaving the military weakens it even more. We've got police departments all over the country that are reckless on healthcare workers who know enough to not to want to take the jab. And what it's doing is collapsing the systems upon which civil society depends for its maintenance and continuity. So this is an ingeniously designed plan with devastating consequences. And sad to say, it seems to be working virtually on schedule, where I'm convinced, by the way, that there are three phases to this effort to depopulate the world. The first is mass, which kill us slowly. The second is these vaccines, which kill us faster. But the third is mass starvation, which is coming. We have all these cargo problems, unloading and all that. That's not by accident. That's by design. Farmers are being paid to plow their crops under the governor of California. Emptied two reservoirs that were at a historic high level. They could sustain a drought for the next 5 years. Deliberately emptying them out into the Pacific Ocean at record low levels to destroy the agricultural capacity of Southern California and the valley. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous what's going on there right before our very eyes. I knew years ago something was very strange when I heard there was a law that you couldn't have your own garden. I mean, how absurd was that? And it's, of course, laying the groundwork for mass starvation to come.
Yep. Now, Joe, you got a comment on that?
It's exactly what Jim says.
Yeah.
Because they emptied out the reservoir. Shasta's a mud hole. I've even seen Dane Wingington show the video of it. It's a mud hole. That's it. But what I'm thinking is the profoundness of what the rabbinic court has said. This is absolutely profound.
Now, we go.
Consequences, I can't even figure out what are going to be the consequences of this. Because when the rabbinic court speaks, and the rabbi has to obey.
Now,
yes, we'll see what happens here. You know, I think you're completely right to say that this is a hugely significant development. And you actually listen to real bona fide experts, not the Fauci's and Burks and the Gates and the other frauds who have been influencing and exerting so much control over the course of events, but people who actually knew what they were talking about.
Now,
and And I would say that when the Rabbi speaks to his congregants, they have to do what he says. This is absolutely profound.
And for these Christian churches to be telling their preachers to be telling their congregations to get their vaccination, and they're holding places here in Kansas City at the churches to get vaccinated. I mean, they're falling right into the game. Now, Jim Fetzer, a good friend of yours, is a good friend of mine, Preston James. And Preston has written on this extensively, and that it's a hellhole, but I'm going to put his things up because he did some excellent articles on the aliens and the fallen angels, he calls it, and what's really running the show here on the planet right now. And we're up against a very evil cabal that does want to kill us. And they plan on getting rid of 2/3 of mankind in the next 3 to 4 years. And we've got all kinds of stuff coming at us and in the way of debris. As Otis Johnson Superspook said, they saw through CERN there was a big fireball hit the planet Earth by 2025. And it destroyed Earth. Now, whether this comes true or not, I don't know. But they've looked in space-time and they saw two stars smacking the planet sometime between late 2021 and 2025. And he said it would be the outer side, probably 2025, when the fireball hits. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. But we are in trouble. I mean, for them to give us 5G, to lighten us up with chemtrails, all these massive particles of metal of various types, and we're breathing it in, and it goes to 40,000 feet, and you're turning around and being lit up with 5G and all this other stuff that they're doing to us. I mean, they got us all lit up electronically, and they're destroying mankind. And they're using HARP to weather modify. I mean, we've all seen it when you got a jet stream that is not normal. And it was 2006 when they moved it the first time, because Otis told me about it. He was NSA. But they're able to pull it down like a damn snake. And it comes down along the west coast, and it turns inwards and comes east, and it comes over Joe down there in Arizona, and it pulls mass amount of moisture through there, and it comes back up and shoots up towards the Colorado range, mountain range, and then it starts moving across the United States as a big from south east or southwest to northeast, and it's moving a mass amount of storm after storm. And
Here's my concern. What is going to be the repercussions when the rabbinic court comes out and says they have to do it? So what do you think is going to be the track on this, Jim? I mean, this is absolutely profound.
Well, I think you've got a better sense of that than I, but this is... I agree that this is likely to make a huge difference, and it doesn't come soon enough. Let me just say regarding Stu's speculations, from the point of view of the philosophy of science, an explanation that provides can account for the data that invokes fewer entities or causal factors than another is preferable. I don't believe we have to invoke fallen angels or ETs to account for what's going on here. I believe the Rothschild banking industry has vast influence. It controls the AP, it controls Reuters, it controls the news services in the United States, which are totally dominated by U.S. Israeli citizens. The Rothschilds take credit for creating the nation of Israel, the Jewish state. I think that we have Klaus Schwab turning out to be a Rothschild himself, and all this business is the Rothschilds trying to take control of the entirety of planet Earth. And I think it's explicable, therefore, on the basis of ordinary human greed and megalomania and a host of other extremely unpleasant traits that seem to be concentrated in this one lineage. A distinct racial character, where I have observed, you know, they wanted to the ideal population of Earth to be 500 million, and I was speculating how they settled on that number. And one of my listeners wrote in response to my commentary that if you recognize that according to the Torah, that every Jew is entitled to have 40 slaves, and he, by his calculation of the number of Jews, came out with 500 billion as the appropriate number. Now, I'm not in the position to vouch for that, but it makes to me a lot more sense than having to appeal to ETs or fallen angels.
Well, I think, you know, we have difference of opinion pertaining to whether they're real or not, but John Lear, I interviewed him, and he was a test pilot. He was a CI pilot, and his dad was Lear Jets, and he sold Lear Jets in 52 and took the contract with the government to build 150 flying saucers, and he did, in secret, and John admitted to it. But I've come to know over the years Ed Slade, who was a U.S. scientist, who worked at Papoose Lake, Nevada, Jim, and Joe is aware of him. There's several radio shows I did with him, and I met him in Las Vegas after they tried to murder him on his day of retirement.
Well, but mind you, I'm not saying there are no ETs. I do believe mm-hmm. something very strange happened in Roswell. I've read the report by Vannevar Bush. I've seen videos that appear to show small grays, and they look authentic to me. I'm just saying I don't see a reason to conclude that that's who's behind what's going on.
Here's what I think.
Perfectly well on its own without invoking fallen angels.
Okay, here's what Otis Johnson, who worked for General Flynn before his death, before he was murdered, and he told me, quote unquote, he says, if Mueller doesn't do his job and prosecute Hildebeest, Hillary Clinton, he says he'll find himself in a jail cell because he says, I'll be putting him there. Well, he ended up dead, heart attack. They zapped him with the satellite. Here was a deal, because I talked to him on his deathbed. He said they stone darted him. But he worked NSA, and he worked from his home in Hastings, Nebraska, in secret. He was a true 007. And this guy sent a warship in, didn't even wake up the President Obama when France went in and blew an underground, underwater base, saucer base, that belonged to the ETs, aliens, whatever. But Otis was a heavyweight, and he told me there was an agreement, the 1952 to 2012 agreement, with the aliens, he called them, the government calls them that, was extended. But he said, under the agreement, they had to report who they were possessing. They possess human beings, and Rothschild is possessed. He's one of the 12, they call him disciples of Satan. And those are the 12 in control of the money around the world. Now, he said there was two, before his death, about 2 months before his death, he says, Stu, there's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA, alien-possessed human beings. And I said, that means all the leaders of the world are possessed. He goes, no. He said, most of them, they got the aides that are possessed that are telling them what to do. And he said, all they're doing is going down this evil path of self-destruction. And that's the way he put it. So we got 200,000 of them, and he said there's over 10 million cloned in Hope, Arkansas. So we got 10 million, but he said, Stu, he says, you know, so-and-so, former U.S. Inspector General. I said, yeah. He says, him and I have talked, and he was NSA. He said, we think it's more like 20 to 30 million they cloned. And those were the scientists that came over here from World War II, that they're German scientists that continue the cloning. Now, that's something Joel has dug into pretty deep. Do you want to comment any, Joe?
Okay, here's what I think is the most important thing, is that we don't want to go down the pathway about the aliens, because what we have in front of us is a means by which to eliminate mankind with a jab. And here we have a court that heads a religion in which they're saying, no jab, that's it. And the profoundness of what's going to happen out of this is what's on my mind right now, because I was confused about how the Israeli government was saying all of the citizens of Israel are going to take the jab. You will take it. So now the rabbinic court is saying, no, you're not. This is profound.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. We'll have to monitor this very closely. But meanwhile, the Democrats are ripping each other up and blaming one another for what happened in Virginia. You would have thought the Democrats would be praising the diversity of having a white guy elected governor, a black woman lieutenant governor, and a Hispanic, the attorney general. But because they were Republicans rather than Democrats, it's some disgrace. Where James Carville, a brilliant political strategist of the past, has observed it's an excess of wokeness, stupid wokeness, he calls it. And he's saying that this is catastrophic. Don't just look at Virginia, New Jersey. Look at Long Island. Look at Buffalo. Look at Minneapolis. Even look at Seattle, Washington. I mean, this defund the police lunacy. This taking Abraham Lincoln's name over schools. I mean, people see that. Meaning people notice that. It's just really, it has a suppressive effect across the country of Democrats. Some of these people need to go to a woke detox center or something. AOC was unhappy about that. She felt bad. They lost in Virginia because they didn't go far left enough. But I'm telling you, the crucial turn of events occurred when the Terry McAuliffe declared that parents didn't have the right to speak out about what their children were taught in the public schools. From there on, it was all downhill for Terry McAuliffe. And the fact that they had in Virginia this boy, 15 years old, wearing a dress, going into a girls' room and raping a girl there, and then they transferred him to hush it up, and he did it again in another school, and this was covered up. I think the Democrats were headed for disaster from that point on. And I think it's going to ignite a wildfire across the country of parents. This isn't political now. This isn't Democrat versus Republican or the Democrat, Republican parents. This is parents of every political variety concerned about their kids, which I think is bringing about a uniform rejection of woke politics, and it comes not a minute too soon.
Well, comment, Joe.
Yeah, the profoundness because of the leadership that the Jews played in the development of the vaccine. Okay? For the courts, which control their religion, says, no, you're not. That's it. Is this going to lead to suits? Is this going to lead a absolute cessation? That's it? What's going to happen?
Let's talk about a few other things. There's active volcanoes. Now, you brought it to my attention, Joe, that island over there. You want to explain it?
Oh, yeah, the La Cubre.
Yeah. Well, now, I think we talked about this once before, and I think it indicated you put someone on the engineer, Jim, who said it probably wouldn't hit.
Yes.
But,
well, he initially was highly alarmed that the volcano could set up a tidal wave that could threaten the East Coast of the United States, especially Florida, but he recalibrated his calculations, and because of the dissipation across the Atlantic Ocean, it would only be an inch or two. It would be just a trickle by the time it hit the East Coast.
Yeah. But there's a possibility. I mean, it could hit, and we've got other volcanoes that are active, like Yellowstone, and we've got the Gulf of Mexico, which everybody forgets about. But there's the county down there in Tennessee that shut down, and Deborah Dupree reported on it because when they first had that Gulf spill years ago, it created a dead zone in the Gulf, and as a result, there were 6,000 miscarriages of people that were eating the fish that were contaminated. Now, this has been the BP spill, the British Petroleum spill, that supposedly was intentional, from what I heard. Now, they scooped up 333,000% the first quarter of oil with their skimming devices, the Valdez skimmers, that kind of stuff. But here's the point. It left the dead zone, which are the two gases, methane and another gas that will kill you. and they found it leaking in the Four Corners of Missouri, or the Four Corners down there at the New Madrid Fault. It's in Missouri. It's where it butts up against Tennessee and Arkansas and Illinois, and it's down there in the county. And they had to clear the county out and put guards around the place to ensure that nobody smoked a cigarette or anything, because it caused a nuclear explosion. Now, that county shut off, and methane gas has escaped out, and there's been dead birds, but mass dead birds. But there's the problem: the artery of that thing goes from the New Madrid down out into the Gulf, and then it turns and it goes over and wraps itself around the southern tip of Florida. Now, you got all that gas coming out of there, and according to an oil expert that was involved in the deal with Afghanistan and cut the deal in 97 for the oil company, a spook told me, he said, "Stu, one day that thing's going to blow, and if it doesn't, they're going to blow it. Now, all they have to do is take a match to it." Now, what would happen? We've got a map called Scalin map, however it's pronounced, and you find it out on the internet. It's on my website. I believe you go to the search bar on stuweb.com, punch it in there. It comes up. It shows the Gulf of Mexico opened up into the Great Lakes. It shows that Missouri, about Columbia, is underwater halfway, becomes a new Gulf of Mexico, and most of Illinois becomes a new part of the Gulf. Now, there's someone out here yelling and screaming that this is part of their plan. It's written in one of the plans. I'm going to try to get a copy and put it up with this radio show, a link to this gal's interview that is saying the same thing. But I've been told that by a super spook once, that that would be an alternative for them to cause big problems to the planet and kill a lot of people. Could it be? That's the question. Either one of you want to comment on?
Go ahead, Joel.
Well, again, I think, Jim, this is a very important thing that you have found, and I really hope this picks off. Because when to get across to the non-Jew the profoundness of the rabbinic court in Israel, that's like the Pope getting up and saying, "No more vaccine, it's evil. For all you Roman Catholics out there, no more shot." That's what's happening. With the rabbinic court coming forward and saying, "No, you will not take the shot." There is going to be a very interesting show that's going to happen out of this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think your reaction is very, very appropriate to what's going on here, and that it is indeed a major development. And, you know, look forward to this having vast consequences.
Either one of you have any other particular subjects you want to talk about?
Oh, sure. The New York Times is attacking Tucker for talking about replacement theory. He was analyzing how come the Biden administration has essentially declared open borders on the southern border and is flying all these immigrants around the country. They had 7 flights into Florida recently in the dead of night, and he was speculating that, in fact, they're trying to replace, you know, the indigenous voters with these immigrant voters that they expect are going to vote Democrat. So that we had a slimy New York Times feature writer by the name of Elizabeth Williamson, whom I met because she came out to cover my trial for damages in my Sandy Hook suit and then wrote very biased stuff about it. She is claiming that Tucker is, gone full tinfoil hat about this. She attacks him this way. Replacement theory is often expressed through conspiracy theories about voting fraud, Jewish or foreign or globalist invasions, electoral dominance by non-white immigrants, and has been espoused by Fox News commentators, Republican members of Congress, and former President Donald J. Trump in April. Tucker espoused replacement theory on air. The left and all the little gate teamers on Twitter become literally hysterical if you use the term replacement. If you suggest that the Democratic Party is trying to replace the current electorate, the voters now casting ballots with new people, more obedient voters from the third world, Mr. Carlson said on the broadcast. That's what's happening, actually. Let's just say it. That's true. And, of course, he's 100% correct. This is the implementation of the CalEnergy plan, which was contrived way back when in the 30s to flood Europe, Western Europe, with immigrants from Africa and create chaos in their culture and essentially destroy it, which has been replicated here in the Western Hemisphere by these mass migration from Central and South America. Well, they're even brought up and being brought up in caravans, trucks that have on their side the Star of David. I've seen the videos. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And that this Williamson at the time should be attacking Tucker for explaining what's going on is, of course, outrageous, but it just confirms what I long since concluded, that she's a hack. And that this is just one more effort to deprive the American people or to tarnish someone who's doing a lot of good out there because he's reporting a lot of truth. That's Tucker Carlson.
Now, you know, everybody's being attacked right now, Jim. I mean, I couldn't even post on my website since July. I'm still having problems to get stuff off and putting it back on, but I've about got it restored. At least I can post radio shows now and other things, but the attacks have been enormous. I heard they arrested one guy who, I'm trying to think, he's a does a program of some type, I forget his name. They arrested him on some charge because he had a document that had Biden from a memoir of his daughter taking showers with daddy. And so they arrested him, the feds did. And then there's a couple other people I just found out. Stattmiller, you want to talk about that one, Joel, what's being reported? Joe, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to give a quick report on what you saw about John Stattmiller?
Oh, yeah. John Stattmiller died last Friday.
Now, that was...
Can I imagine? I'm going to guess he took the vax.
I don't know. The only thing I went to Republic Broadcasting Network.org and listened to one of their shows, and that's where they announced for me John Stattmiller died Friday.
Now, I want to say something about Stattmiller because he sat in my office and we had a long talk, and he stopped on the way, called me, said he's in town, want to stop by. He was going up to either the Minnesota or Wisconsin. I think it was Wisconsin where his family was, his mother. So he had a show at the time, you're going to like this one, Jim, with the Stooge Alex Jones on his network. And he called me up and said, hey, Stu, you know, talked to me a couple of times and all that. I never really did a show with him yet. And it happened to be that I had about six boxes of documents that I was trying to scan on my computer to get up on my website. So I've got this stuff sitting around, and he's over there, and he comes in, he sits down with me for about 3 or 4 hours. We had a long talk, and I started whipping out documents because he said, well, you know, some of the things you've said and stuff, you know, that's one of the reasons Alex Jones doesn't want to put you on the air. And I said, well, here, John, what subject do you want to pick? And I started naming them off, and I've got files there. Of course, these files are hidden, I'll put it that way, nowhere around me. But anyway, I started whipping out stuff that he had never seen in his life. And he says, oh, God, Stu, now I know why you know so much here. I said, yeah, I got a lot of stuff out of Springfield, Missouri, when I was locked up as a political prisoner, and out of Denver, the people going through the jails. Anyway, they were Iran-Contra players. So he was impressed. So he goes back, and he interviews me a couple, three times, and he laid down some stuff that he saw in my office, and we talked about it. And then he says, well, Alex and I do a show on Saturdays, and he says, Stu, he says, we'll give you a call soon. I said, okay. So they did a joint show on a Saturday. After the show, he calls me. And he starts talking to me. And he says, Alex, I have a question for you. I said, is it true that the guy you answer to is on prevailingwinds.com, is one of the people that were involved with the Kennedy cover-up of the murder, and that you answered him? Alex Jones got away from the phone. John told me he turned white and walked away from the phone. Shortly thereafter, John no longer was there. Well, he was there for a period of time, but he never re-interviewed me ever again. And he turned me over to another guy, Jeremy Floyd, who had a little show on there in the evenings. And he was doing them right and left with me. And then all of a sudden they got rid of him because it's too much information on the Alex Jones network. So Jeremy ends up over at a radio in Bakersfield, California. It was a big network, radio network, with a 150,000 watt blaster. It could be heard in, but he was all over the U.S. I'm trying to think of his name, but he's dead and so forth. But Stattmiller was a pretty good guy. But when he went over to the other radio network after losing it with Jones, and remember who Jones is, he's the guy that set Jim Fetzer up, basically, to take the hit on a lawsuit because his insurance company caved in on something, and he was just playing stooge, in my opinion of it. Any comment, Joe or Jim?
Well, Alex Jones has been on both sides of the issue regarding Sandy Hook, and during a video deposition in Connecticut, he declared that he never read "Nobody Died at Sandy Hook," which is ridiculous. I mean, anyone who cares about Sandy Hook should read the only serious scholarly investigation where I brought together 13 experts, including six PhD professors, and we discovered that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students or teachers there, that it was a two-day FEMA drill, technically a mass casualty exercise involving children, which was presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Indeed, one of my contributors, Paul Creston, who's himself a school administrator, supervised active shooter drills, was so disturbed by what he saw broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him that it had been a drill, that no one had died, and that was done to promote gun control. So here you have the equivalent of a confession from the Obama Department of Education. Alex, I've sought to support him. He sometimes said it was fake, but he's other times said it was real, and he's not been receptive to my efforts. Right now, oddly enough, interestingly, I'm seeking to intervene in a case against him in Connecticut, where they're trying to clean him out, because it's all based on the assumption that there was a real shooting at Sandy Hook. But I'm trying to explain how that's a fraudulent basis, because in fact the evidence is all against it. Even the FBI, in its consolidated crime report for 2012, shows for non-negligent homicides and murders in Newtown, Connecticut, at year zero. Well, of course, it should have been 27, and there are actually 20 children, 6 adults at the school is mother. I mean, but it's zero. Then we have the study, the final report on Sandy Hook by the state's attorney, Stephen Sadinsky III, that fails to create a causal nexus connecting the alleged shooter, Adam Raza, with his victims, or the weapons he's supposed to have used. His fingerprints are not on the rifle which his mother is supposed to have been shot. And of the 150 slugs they claim they gathered from the school, none of them could be matched to the AR-15 he was supposed to have used. If there's ever been such a forensic failure in the histories of inquiries, criminal investigations, I'd like to learn about it. This was just catastrophic.
Now, basically what Jones did, you proved that there was a fake, it was a fake thing, Sandy Hook. And here, one of the so-called victims, whose kid supposedly was killed, Jones turns around because he made some comment so he could get sued, it looked like to me. So he gets sued, and he has an insurance company that pays the suit, and it sets you up to where now that guy who claims his daughter was killed and wasn't, he can now sue you because he's already got a judgment against Alex, who fell for it intentionally, in my opinion, because this guy is a stooge. After the story of John Stapmiller, Alex Jones started begin putting on Ted Gunderson, who was a total stooge, working for FBI 5, number 5, the stooges on the Patriots. He set up a lot of people, Michael Reconosciuto, Inslaw, all the whole bit. I mean, this guy played stooge, and he kept putting him on the air, hammering me for 4 years before his death. So, Alex, I don't like him at all. If I were to call him a traitor to America, he's working for the New World Order, I'll put it that way. The cabal. By the way, Jim.
Yeah.
The 12 disciples, known as the 12 disciples of Satan, guess how many are Jews? Almost all of them. I'll name them off as my memory. These are the ones controlling the economy. Rockefeller, Rothschild, Anwar Ben Shri, the head rabbi in Israel, Pope Benedict that resigned because of his pedophilia in Germany, and they had arrest warrants for him, Larry Mizell of Denver, Paul Warburg, Bill Grace of Grace and Company, the son took over, Patrick Wu of China, he likes living in Dallas and buying real estate down there, who am I missing, Joel? There's a few others. There's 12 of them total. But they call them the 12 disciples of Satan. They're the ones that eat babies on satanic holidays. Yeah. But they're the ones in control of the money of the world. They're almost all Jews except for Patrick Wu. I don't think he is. Like I say, he likes real estate in Dallas, but he's controlling China. But those are the ones controlling the economy worldwide. And their agenda is Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Now, I want to mention something about the Jews in Israel. Because people don't know this. Remember, a lot of them, these Khazarian Jews, and Joe explained to them how Israel came about. And you did it in another show. Would you please?
Well, that's a little bit involved, but I'll just make it really short. Aaron Ehrlich, who is a geneticist out of Johns Hopkins University, was asked to do a genetic study, an ancestral study, for the Israeli Antiquities Department. And he did, tracing the ancestry of the Jew, of Jews. And what it turned out was, is that he found, as Arthur Koestler found out, and others who have tried to present that, but have been always squished in saying it, is that these, what we call Jews, are not the old Hebrews of the Old Testament. They are Khazars. And Dr. Preston James is one of those that has also presented that. And the documentation you can't dispute. And so essentially what it is that 80% of Israel today are Ashkenaz, or European Jews, and they are then the descendants of the Khazars. And that the Palestinian actually has more Hebrew blood in them.
Was it 92% or something like that of the Palestinians have the Hebrew?
I don't remember or recollect the amount of Hebrew blood in them. However, it was just stated to me that the Palestinian has in their ancestry Hebrew blood. And so we have this conflict between, because their entire basis of founding of Israel, or that they were the chosen people of the Old Testament. And now you have Aaron Ehrlich, who has said, no, you're not.
Now,
Khazars.
Yeah, Khazars. Now, during World War II, the Hebrews were being slaughtered by the Khazarians because they were involved with Adolf Hitler, and there's proof of that. Then you've got them going in, General, what was his name? No, I can't think of it. He was an Israeli slimeball. Raphael Aton and others were involved in, and their fathers were involved in the overthrow of the what's now known as Israel, the territory of Israel. And they killed and slaughtered and buried in mass graves 40,000 Palestinians to create what's called Israel today. And that was done in 1947. They declared themselves a state. 1 year later, to date, the UN declared them as a state, of the state of Israel in 1948. So that's what happened way back then. And look at the Palestinians. If they're the true bloodline, the true Israeli bloodline, there's a problem. Any comment, Jim?
Well, I'm just, you know, I agree with all this about the Israel is Khazarians are not descendants of the tribe of Juba, and since the Palestinians really are Semites, but the Israelis are not. Turns out, ironically, that Israel is the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. Listen, you guys, it's been just terrific, and I always enjoy doing this. I have another project I have to tackle, alas.
Well,
I want to thank you.
You're welcome, Jim. And do you have any last comments, Joe?
Yeah, Jim, I hope you really follow up on this, because this is a profound event. It is a profound event.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's going to have a lot of ramifications, so we're going to track it very carefully.
Well,
thanks to you both.
I want to thank you both, too. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, Joel, both. And you, too, have a good evening. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Take care.